This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:36, Monday, the 29th of May. But in the meantime, let's turn our attention to currencies, particularly, the US dollar, because there's been lots of reports that it will be replaced as the currency of dominance in global trade. But at the same time, that doesn't seem to be the case because it hit a recent fresh two-month high against a basket of its peers thanks to economic data that signal resilience even after the Fed's aggressive rate hike cycle.
Meanwhile, closer to home, the ringgit continues to see volatility with a downward bias, where on last Thursday it slumped a fresh low of 3.41 against the Sing dollar. What explains this weakness in the ringgit, especially since the economic fundamentals remain sound? And will the greenback keep going from strength to strength in the weeks ahead?
For some insights, we speak to Luca Santos, currency analyst at ACY Securities. Good morning, Luca. Thanks for joining us. Like we said last week, the US hit a fresh two-month high against a basket of its peers. Are you ruling out further US dollar strength that could rally above the March high, though?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Thanks to having me here. We are on a very, very important week, I would say, for the US dollar. It all comes down for the US debt ceiling at this crucial moment. And as well, Secretary Yellen already mentioned that for us last week, that if this issue hasn't been resolved in the first or second week of next month, June, then the US could trigger a bear. And as well on the T-bonds, as well on running on the default. Now, you know, the U.S. strength, as you asked me, the U.S. strength that could rally above the March high. Until that, yes, I do think it can. This week, we may see a very bullish U.S. dollar. I'm personally still bullish for the first half of this year, but I don't believe it can go much further upside.
So in your commentary, you opine that the dollar bear trend will really tickle in the second half. So why is it so, and what could stand in that way?
Good question. Well, look, as I just mentioned, you know, the US debt ceiling is still stuck. This is generating a bit of strength to the US dollar. And furthermore, we need to pay attention as well to the payroll coming from the US. In the first half of this year, we had so much positive data coming from the US related to other currencies. But, you know, I think, first of all, we need to see all of these debt issue being resolved. Just a heads up, you know, it have already happened 78 separate times. The debt ceiling being resolved. 49 of those 78 times was under Republicans, and 29 under the 78 times was under Democratic. I think we can expect a bit of a U.S. weakness on the second half, because this is when the Fed will probably pause the rates and generating a bit of a bearish momentum on the U.S. dollar as well. Then we're going to have Europe, and then UK, and so all the currencies from the G10 leading the basket.
Well, so just building on that stop point then, moving on to the EU, right? Its largest economy, Germany, slid into recession in the first quarter of the year. What does that mean for the euro then in the mid and long term?
Good. Look, you know, this question, it's pretty good question, because if we look at the allocations of the big corporations, you know, and the big portfolio around the globe, we can note a portfolio rotation in the beginning of this year. You know, we had a massive bid on the euro. And to be fair, I'm still bullish on the euro, all right, for this year. I think, you know, if we look at the euro dollar, we did had a bit of a push in the beginning of the year. And now we are having a bit of a down move. But the past 2 weeks, you know, this is because the talks and murmurs of the debt ceiling again, indeed. But I still see positive rotation of funds into the euro and out of the US. As I just mentioned, I think the US will pause, not will cut. This would be a bit extreme, but they will pause in the second half of this year on the next meeting. But they are very data dependent, but I'm pretty confident that they will pause the rates and so on, giving more investors, you know, FDI, foreign direct investors, opportunities to invest in the Europe market.
Okay, let's bring this conversation back closer to home in Asia. I want to talk about the renminbi. It slipped past the key level of 7 per dollar for the first time this year. I think the economic data has been somewhat mixed and it continues to see weakness. Do you think the PBOC is going to cut rates to stimulate economy, and what's your outlook on it?
Look, that's a tricky question, you know, because the PBOC has cut the RRR 15 times since 2018, from nearly 15%. And, you know, some analysts, they have speculated over how much room it has to further reductions, you know. And Julian Evans was a Capital Economics. He said that this will provide a bit of a financial relief for China's large and medium-sized banks. As well, it may also help nudge down lending rates slightly, but not that much. But giving a wider sign of a policy's restraint, I doubt it will have a significant and lasting impact on monetary conditions or credit growth. You know, and I can add here as well, the economic activity on China, it has picked up on the first 2 months of this year, 2023, you know, as consumption and infrastructure investments drove a recovery from unfortunately, the COVID-19 disruptions. You know, but again, it's all the traditional growth engines. The bigger question mark is, exporters are expected to remain weak amid a global downturn and the crisis hit property sector. I think you know, it comes down as well with China and Australia, big two friends. And Australia can have a lot of beneficial upward movement when China wants to reopen for full and becomes the trading again between those both countries.
So Luca, let's be clear on this. In terms of correlation to renminbi, is Malaysia very correlated? The Thai baht correlated? Is that the reason why those two respective currencies have also seen extreme weakness in the last 2-3 months, I would say?
Sorry. Okay. I've separated a little, you know, I've done a bit of a study on this question. It's funny because you asked this question because I did had it right here, but I wasn't like, maybe she asks, maybe she don't. You know, I'm gonna read it out for you here. The 13.9% of the Malaysian exports are going to Singapore. That's first of all. You know, and that's because Malaysia exports most of the commodities to Singapore. And, you know, I was listening to the radio before entry here. And, you know, one of the biggest exporting the Malaysia is doing to Singapore is tobacco as well. And food condiments, rubber and coal. You know, as well, the Singapore has a dependence of those same exported items, same as China. So I think there is a correlation there. I think it is a bit of a commodities correlation, yes.
Okay, and where do you expect the ringgit to trade then in the next coming few months?
Look, I was talking to a few analysts that are more into those currencies. They're expecting around 750, okay, 725, 750.
This I know, is the yen, right, by the way? This is the renminbi, okay.
Yeah. So it may all comes down to how the global growth will remain active or not.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. That was Luca Santos, currency analyst at ACY Securities, reminding us that the reason for, or at least one of the reasons, there are many reasons as to why the ringgit is weak, is because the Chinese currency is expected to continue to depreciate. How their view, 7.25 against the US dollar. Ouch.
Well, simply because I think China's economic growth hasn't been as stellar as many expected it to be.
Yeah, but at the same time, Bank Negara did come out with a statement on Friday. They say that the movements in the ringgit will continue to be market determined and that they will manage the risk arising from the heightened financial market volatility. They expect the ringgit performance to improve as uncertainties from global market developments should subside. That's what Bank Negara says. Up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Xia Chin Chin on AI. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.